Welcome to the Council of Moms. I'm Lisa Valentine Clark, mother of five, master of none. I don't know what that means, but I do know that it is time for the Council of Moms. And that makes me really excited because motherhood is not a journey that you should go on alone. It is dark and treacherous and fun and exciting and everything in between. And no one will believe you unless there's somebody else there to witness it. So this is our witness to each other, the Council of Moms, because people who get no alone time should never have to feel alone. Or the Council of Moms, dropping knowledge as quickly as our children drop their backpacks right inside the front door. And as always, the Council of Moms, made with real moms. We've got a lot of real moms right here. They're holding it together. They're doing it well, looking graceful and honest as always. Today, I'd love to toss it over. Introduce yourselves. Who do we have today on the council?
Hi, I'm Emily Campbell. I'm a mom of three. I've got a 22-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 9-year-old. So we're all over the place. And we've got some awesome, amazing, severe disability in there in the middle. So yeah. We're doing it all.
Little bit of everything.
Little bit of everything. It's awesome.
I'm Sunny Mahe. I've got 10 kids from 25 down to 2. And every stage in between, I'm kind of in all of the stages at the same time, juggling all the balls, trying not to drop them, dropping them occasionally.
I'm Julie Taylor. I have 5 kids. I have a toddler, some tweens, and a teen, and I am consistently dropping all the balls.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. We have a follow-up question, which is kind of a fun thing. This question comes from a message we got about a different Council of Moms episode where we talked about setting healthy boundaries when other parents are asking too much of you. So not even about your own kids, but where you just like feel this pressure from other parents. So we got this follow-up and here it is. It says, love this, but can you do a follow-up on asking other moms for help? I have a hard time not feeling like I'm adding too much to someone else's plate when I actually need help. So it's like on the flip side. So This is a really good point. And I know I've been there too. So moms, let's just talk about it. Let's lean in. How do you know when and how to ask for help? What is your experience with this?
Does anyone know the answer to this one?
This is a really hard one for me too, personally, just so in case you know. Like I'm like, yes, ask for help. We can't do this alone, everybody. But, oh, for me personally, no, I should be able to handle it. Like, I'm such a hypocrite. When it comes to me, I feel like 100% let's do this together. I would love to help. You know, when someone asks me for help, I'm honored. I feel like it's a privilege. I feel like I know how to set healthy boundaries. But on the flip side of that, it's hard for me to say, hey, I need some help. Can you help me with this? I don't know why.
I feel like I got really good at asking for help when my middle child, my son, who's severely disabled, he kind of was like, I don't want to say a scapegoat, but he was a really good reason that I couldn't show up to do a lot of things that I can do now. You know, I was kind of homebound for like, I don't know, like a decade. And it forced me to get a little bit braver or a little bit more comfortable saying, I can do this, but I can't do this, or could you help with this? And, you know, now that I've had a child that's been out of school for a long time and an elementary schooler kid, I've realized, and I'm sure you guys have too, that when it comes to like classroom help or help at church or even community things, there's always like kind of the same 10 people that do everything. Right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm one of those people. And then sometimes I couldn't be one of those people. And so I don't know. For me, it's a little bit of a different situation because I had a really good reason to say, I can't do these things. I need a little bit of help. So I think whether you have that or not, and it's uncomfortable, but you have to be able to just be honest. I think honesty, just being honest and not trying to front, right? Like not trying to have this facade of, I can do all of it. I'm superwoman and I'm super mom and I can have my house perfectly clean and all my kids are healthy and mentally healthy and I work full time and can we just be done playing that game and trying to, you know, pretend that we always have our stuff together? I think getting just real and honest, you know, nicely honest, but saying, okay, here's what I can do. And then I need help with X, Y, and Z, or even just saying no. It's like, I can't help with that class party this time, but maybe at Christmas I can, or I can't serve on the school community council for the seventh year in a row. It's someone else's turn. I think just being honest, I know it's so hard to be honest, but I don't know how to be any other way except honest. So
that's a good quality.
Brutally so, but whatever. That's the only way I've been able to navigate that.
Yeah, I think that what broke my people-pleasing habits were understanding that people-pleasers are not trustworthy, and I wasn't being trustworthy because I was giving people an answer but then privately resenting. So I'd say, like, yeah, I'll do that, and then I'd be upset about it. I'd be resentful about it, and that's not how I wanted to be. And so I thought that I was doing stuff for everybody, but anyway, so that's kind of what broke that pattern for me, is kind of understanding, like, I want people to be able to trust me. And so if I can't say yes without resentment, I'm going to say no. So that's how I handle my own boundary. And then also going forward, just kind of taking people at their word and understanding it's actually not my responsibility to manage their schedule or their emotions or their capacity. So I've tried to show up more honestly and say yes when I can and no when I can't. And I'm going to try to treat other people like adults and assume that they can do the same. So when they say yes, I don't let myself spiral of, like, they're probably secretly hating me. They probably don't want to really do it. But that's how I used to be. And so I think that's where the mistrust came from and why it is so hard for me to ask, because I think that everyone secretly hates me when I ask them for help. And I never want to be a burden, and I don't want to be a disappointment. And I just, you know, all of the things, right? But as I have worked through that myself, I think now one of my favorite things about myself is that you can trust me fully. If I say yes, I'm happy to do it, I'm able to do it, and I will do it. And I'll do it with love and zero resentment, because that's my responsibility to manage, and it's other people's responsibility to manage as well. And I talk a big game, but it really wasn't until losing a child and being at rock bottom that I learned how to receive help. And even in that moment, it was so hard for me to receive it. And that's been the masterclass, though, for me, of I had to. It wasn't a choice.
Yeah,
I
could it wasn't not, a choice.
I could not do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't. And so there wasn't a choice anymore. So I just received, and I told myself that I would give back. You know, as soon as I can, I will. As soon as I can, I will. I'll get back up and serve. And service heals me. And so if we're never going to ask people for help, then we're never going to give people that opportunity. Like, service is what saves me. And it takes two to tango. We have to receive.
Yeah.
We have to.
That's what my special guy taught me too, is like, I have to have help. I can't do it by myself. And I have to say no when I can't do it. But you're farther along in being healthy about that than I am, Julie. Yeah.
I feel like what I've heard from both of you is you're actually naturally pretty service-minded. I mean, serving on the school council, like, I've never done that, you know? And so
that's,
I think that—
not me. I've never been on a
school. But I mean, just hearing that you like serving, service is healing for you. And I think that, so in answer to the original question, probably half of that, making it more comfortable, is having the kind of relationships that feel reciprocal, that if you're only asking all the time, then there's a high likelihood that people are going to resent you. Like, if you're never offering, like, if you want other people to help with your kids, but you're never willing to watch anyone else's kids, or you're never willing to do the things that you're asking other people to do. Whereas, you know, with your grief, I'm sure it has made you more compassionate and more aware of people that are grieving. And so you in turn now want to go help those people. And so when you want to ask other people for help, you're not typically going to ask a stranger. You're going to ask the people that you feel comfortable asking. And if you don't have any of those people in your life, then maybe it's not the help part you need. You need some better friendships and better relationships around you to be able
that's such
to
a good point.
Have those people to rely on.
Like Julie's saying, like, it takes two to tango. You can't just always be the one who's asking for help, and you can't always be the one who's just serving too. And it's like this flow that has to be nice. And I think that we could all give examples of times where somebody helped us with something that we literally could not do that had to be done, or something that we wanted to do but couldn't get done, and it benefited our kids. And when somebody else like serves our kids and does something that benefits our kids, that is the surefire way for me to get out of my own, like, oh, I don't want to bug anybody, perfectionist sort of tendencies. I'll just be the one to help. You know, that will shut it down for me. Like, oh yeah, this makes my kids' life better. I'll do that. Like, for example, I was at a time in my life where I was overwhelmed, and my husband at the time was very sick and needed a lot of care. And so that just, after school stuff, sports stuff, clubs and everything, like, just, it became tricky, whereas before it wasn't. It wasn't a big deal. And my son wanted to play baseball, and I want him to be able to play baseball, but I was like, you know those sports schedules, you guys, they're like insane. And they're at the worst time, and always are during dinner, and every, like, several times a week. And it's just like a really intense time of life. And I remember thinking, I don't know if, like, for the values and for the safety and health of my family, if this kid is going to be able to do this extracurricular thing. And I'll never forget that, like, a friend was like, hey, I drive by your house on the way to baseball to take my son. I'm just going to pick up your son and take him with me. And I remember that, like, internal, like, No, we're fine. I can do it myself. Like, I'm not every single time, and I'm not going to reciprocate. Absolutely not. I don't want to be one of those moms, you know, that's just always asking, you know. And she was just like, I literally am driving by your house. Like, it's every day, and I'm already going to go every day. And I know that you have some stuff going on in your house, and I'm not asking for reciprocal. And it's almost like she had to convince me, and I'm embarrassed that I was like that. But all to say, she did that. And my son loved it, and it was so great, and he had that experience. And even though I wanted to do it for myself, having somebody else to do it, and in that instance, it wasn't even that I was asking, but I was convinced to ask. And I still think about that, of like this ultimate kindness. It was because it taught me so many things, and it changed the way that I parented. It was such a great thing for me to learn.
You didn't even have to ask. You just had to let them do it, which is
huge.
But that
felt hard.
I swear, I resisted letting anybody help me with my disabled kid for 5 or 6 years straight. No, I got it. It's fine. I got it. Like I was said before, I just had to get to a place of like total honesty and not be embarrassed anymore and not act like I could handle everything, just like you in that situation, Lisa, and all of us. I couldn't act like, oh, I have it all together and I'm so awesome that I can do everything all the time. That's kind of a hard reality to come to when you're really used to being like highly capable, right? Or in charge and controlling. I don't, me controlling. But
highly capable. That sounded a lot better.
Yeah, I like that.
Spin
on it a little bit better.
That's a way better.
Really good at stuff.
I'm really good at stuff. And I can juggle lots of balls, and I can do it by myself while my husband's on the road 80% of our life and blah, blah, blah. But I really do feel like being able to navigate that, it comes down to just like total honesty. And I'm not saying like, oh, well, then you need to tell all your friends, your kids' friends' mothers, or your friends, or the people that serve as room parent with you. I'm not saying like you need to tell them all the details of your life.
It'll look different for everybody.
Yeah. It doesn't mean you have to tell them everything you're going through, but you do need to be honest. And that's hard. I don't know why that's so hard.
It is hard because it's so vulnerable. Like asking for help is a very vulnerable thing to do. And so, Sunny, I keep thinking about what you said because I think it's so true. Like, it's about trust and vulnerability. And if you don't have friendships that or relationships that support that, then it feels impossible. And sometimes I've had new people show up for me, and the way that our relationship is built is I learn that we can trust each other to show up for each other. But I think that connection simplifies service, because when you know people, you know how to show up for them better. And when people know you, they know how to show up for you, and everybody's more comfortable asking for help. And so focusing, if service and receiving service is a pain point in your life, I think Sunny's absolutely zeroed in on it, of focus on those relationships in your life, focus on connection in your life. And I think that service and receiving is kind of a natural byproduct of those trusting relationships where you can be vulnerable.
You know, sometimes people ask me as a special needs mom, like, how do you navigate the needing of help and wanting to help and you can't and this and this, this. Yeah. One of my first pieces of advice is you need to get yourself some really good friends. You need a community of people that will show up for you and you can be honest with when you're
you mean like a council of moms?
Exactly. You know, you need people that are going to show up for you the way that works for you and your family, people you can be honest with. And, you know, if you have to break plans at the last minute or say, I can't do that or whatever, if those friends aren't willing to stick around through all of that, then you need new friends for sure.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And what I was going to say kind of goes hand in hand with that is that your vulnerability will expose what kind of friendships you have because a good friendship, it deepens it when you show your vulnerability. And the surface friendships, they're put off by that. And those aren't the ones that you want to help you. Like, those are not your people. If you can't be yourself.
They have a way of thinning themselves out, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that. Can you feel it in your body or can you feel it nagging in your head when you know, I need to outsource this. I need to ask for help. Can you sense it?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of things I probably should outsource because they just don't get done often. But I think that, like you said, like with rides for kids, I have a lot of kids and they all have to be somewhere at the same time on the same days. And so it is nice to be able to have some people that you can rely on that you know care about your kids. That's a huge difference that it's like I wouldn't want to send my child with somebody that was going to resent it, that was going to treat them poorly. Like I want to know that they're in good hands. And so, yeah, you kind of do have to be friends with the people that you would expect service from. And I think the way you create those connections is either, you know, through serving them or listening as a form of service, like just being a true friend, and then you will have true friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's huge. I think, too, if an opportunity arises or there's something going on that needs my help to volunteer or somebody needs something from me, or even like something as simple as like, oh, we need people to show up to clean this place or whatever, I kind of feel like I know pretty quickly, am I able to make that happen? Is it going to stress me out so badly that like I'm going to be resentful and feel horrible, like what Julie was saying? But sometimes things will, I don't like kind of come across my desk, right? Like a little opportunity will arise and I'll think, do I want to do this thing enough that I'm willing to like get a caregiver for my son or like rearrange my own schedule or drop some other thing? So if it's something like that, then I'll move things around. I'll make things happen because I want to do it. But if I'm not willing to do that, or if I know it's going to like bubble up some feelings of like resentment in me, then you got to say no, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that a good remedy for this, maybe one of the approaches is to offer service a lot. Like, don't wait to be asked. Because I know as a person who it's hard to receive, I'm most grateful for the people who just kind of do the thing and don't give me the chance to say, no, thank you, I'm fine. You know, you don't want to make people uncomfortable, but I will be uncomfortable regardless if you're serving me. So you might as well
just. It's a gift. That's good to know. That's a gift.
But I think sometimes that's how I found the most success in serving people is just do it. You just don't have to like ask, what can I do for you? And that again comes through knowing people, because the more you know them, the better you know how to show up and what to do. And I just keep thinking of a few months ago, my neighbor two doors down, I'm obsessed with the sky and it's been a big part of my grief journey is walking and looking at the sky. And I love a good sky. We all like a good sunset, but it's been like a big deal for me. And she just texted me at like 6:45 one morning and she's like, get outside right now. And I ran outside and the sky was incredible. And I was going to miss it. And because she knows me and knows that that's something that I care about, she just gave me the heads up. She was out on her walk and that changed my whole day. And it It felt like a huge act of service that she could only have done because she's taken the time to get to know me and to know what helps me and to know what I need. It took one text on her part. It changed my whole day. But that's kind of what taught me of like, oh, connection simplifies service. The more we know people, the closer we love them, the more we know these little tiny things that actually don't take a lot of effort but can be really transformative for them. And so I think the priority always comes back to that connection.
Oh, I'm so glad that you shared that example, because a lot of times we think of something that's absolutely difficult to do, like making a big ask, like drive every day for 6 weeks or whatever. But like, yeah, a text, other things that you don't even know, it does change. Even just asking the question does change the way that you show up for people. I love that. I think that's really interesting. Yeah. I'm wondering too, like how your faith and how you see God and like your responsibilities, if that's the way that you believe, how that affects how you ask for help too. Like, especially like as a mom, when I think a lot of people, myself included, I feel like this is a responsibility from God, you know, to take care of these children or to nurture them or teach them or whatever, you know, whatever. And I think that sometimes me not asking for help seems like, no, the buck stops here. This is my responsibility. And it can kind of make me hesitate. But as I've gotten older, I also realize that like my kids are a gift too, and sort of sharing them with other people and asking for help is like part of like why we're all here, I think. Like, and it's part of my faith of expressing it, and not just in service, but in, you know, like coming together. And I think there's something really beautiful about it. So that's how it affects my faith. I'm wondering if it enters into yours at all.
I have so many opinions about this. This could be a whole nother podcast episode.
I love
it. Because like I said, when our special guy was younger for so many years, I was like, I got it. He's not too hard, and, you know, I can do everything right. And then when he got too hard and I really had to start letting people kind of like get in the trenches with us, that was so excruciatingly hard, because our son is so severe and his behaviors are so intense and his seizures are so intense. And so, you know, when people are there and witnessing what daily life is like with him, they're speechless and they have their minds blown. But letting people into that world, which was so hard and took me so long to do, has been like life-changing for us and for the people. And it took me a really long time to realize that, like, our son Connor is, this will make me weepy. Nothing makes me cry like talking about Connor does, but he is a gift to so many people. He's, you know, we've had caregivers in our home just you know, like on a daily basis, or some that have lived with us. He's had two separate caregivers that have lived in our home with us. And one of them went into special ed after living with him. And we've had other caregivers who have said, oh, I'm going to run my own group care facility someday for adults like your son, you know. Mm-hmm. To see people's lives be transformed because of him, or to see the way people show up, like what Julie was saying, having a neighbor just text her and say, run outside and look at the sky, because she knows what that means to you. She's been through your grief journey with you. But have people, you know, call me and say, or text me, hey, I know Connor loves to drive through the car wash. I'm going to pick him up. And even though that gives me 20 or 30 minutes, you know, of like respite, knowing that someone is willing to have him in their car, knowing that he's going to make an absolute mess. He may hit you. He may throw the drink, which he's done in lots of people's cars. He may break your windows. Just knowing people are willing to do that is like, it's priceless and it's sacred. And it's so many things that I don't even have the words for. But just knowing, you know, I've had so many people in my life show up year after year after year for him, even when he has slapped them in the face or punched them or pulled their hair or whatever, and they keep showing up. Like, if that's not a divine service opportunity, then I don't know what is. And that's, nobody has ever taught me what unconditional love is like having him. I didn't know what that meant before. I still don't know if I love anybody unconditionally like I love my son Connor unconditionally. But, I mean, he's shown me, not just me, but every single person that's willing to, you know, be part of our inner circle with him. It's just, I literally don't have words for it. No. And I mean, that's certainly a huge part of my faith, is that I think that his life is not for nothing. And the way that he is not a mistake, and it's not a waste, you know?
Yeah. And it's so generous of you to, when you do ask for help, like, you are allowing people into that experience of loving Connor.
Yeah. It's really hard to do, because I know there's a huge risk there, and I don't want that. It's so vulnerable. And and I mean, there's many times where he's done things in public or hurt people where I feel ashamed, you know, and those are feelings I have had to work through and say, you know, God is in charge of Connor, and he's sending people to Connor for a reason, and for those people, not necessarily just to help me or to help Connor, but like, those people, they've needed him. And I've seen the influence, or just, I mean, his energy is so pure and so, I mean, he's a beautiful angel, but he's also a total terrorist. Yeah. But I've seen how, like, people have received that, and just, I mean, he's a total alien, and it's amazing. But it was hard. It's been really hard to let people into that, and to let go of some of my caregiving duties, and to, you know, make sense of it all.
I think when you bring up faith into the equation, for me, it's showed up really like coming to believe that our limitations are the invitations for collaboration for people in our lives. Like, we are not designed to do it by ourselves, full stop. If we were, then we would find a way. But I believe that means partnership with divinity as well. But even if that's not your belief system, it's with each other. Like, it is by divine design, in my opinion, and by my faith, that we can't do this by ourselves, and motherhood specifically. I remember when one of my kids needed to start speech therapy, someone was like, oh, are you like embarrassed? I was puzzled by their question, but I was just like, no, like, obviously I can't fix this for them. I'm not, I don't know how to teach. Like, I don't know
how
to.
Why would I be embarrassed? I know how to talk.
Yeah, good point.
Why is a child that doesn't know
I'm talking right now. Like, what's your deal?
I just, like, maybe it is because I went to speech therapy when I was little. It was so part of my belief system that, like, we collaborate on help. But that, for me, like, speech therapy isn't something that I'm trained in. So it was very easy for me to be like, obviously I need help here, because I'm not trained in this. But these other things that are, the lines are blurred, and we feel like they should be under our jurisdiction or within our training, I think that's when it gets a little bit more challenging. But I really believe, I was a very difficult teenager, which is shocking. But I remember feeling like I would, bad for my mom, that she put so much pressure on herself to fix it all. Because I even as a teenager, I remember being like, chill out, this isn't on you. Like, I'm not like this because of you. This isn't your fault. But I remember putting so much pressure to, like, to solve
That's
everything
so
and to fix everything.
I know.
And I had other people. I had church leaders and teachers and coaches who showed up for me. And not because my mom sucks, she was wonderful, but I needed it from different points. And now as a mom, I am so grateful that there are other people in my kids' lives who can influence them in a way that I cannot, both professional and just in friendship. And rather than seeing that as a threat or something that a shortcoming, it's an invitation for collaboration, and that is how it's supposed to be. And what a gift that we can involve more people in our kids' lives for both parties.
Yeah.
Fully.
Well said.
Yeah, you know, I've played on several sports teams. Like, I played it, you know, I played volleyball in college and stuff. And I feel like the teammates that I feel the closest to are the ones where we had to face a lot of adversity together. I think that there's something about friendships that have to face hard things and do it together, that it just deepens the friendships and to where they feel like the kind that will last beyond this life. And so when you talk about, you know, our religion or our belief systems, that I think that doing hard things with other people, it bonds you in a way that just having fun with people just isn't ever going to. Like, when you see the people's hard, like, it bonds you to those people when you feel like you're part of it and doing it with them.
I love it. I love this question. This might be one of my favorite, like, Council of Moms, because in the question is really like the spirit of it, of like, we need each other and we need to, and it requires a lot of vulnerability to show up and to and authenticity of sharing what you're really struggling with and asking for help. So how do you know when and how to ask for help is, you know, you can lean on God, you can lean on your belief system, and also the people around you for that kind of support in that, because they speak the same language, and none of us are doing this by ourselves. We just think we are, right? And when we really acknowledge that collaboration, we can do those hard things that we need to do and make it lighter for each other, make it doable. I really appreciate all of you sharing. Thank you so much, Emily, Sunny, and Julie, for sharing your hard-earned wisdom with us here on the Council of Moms today. This has been so great. Please leave us a comment. We'd love to know your perspective of how and when you're able to ask for help. Who knows? One of your comments, like, it might spark something in somebody else. And it's a good way to keep that sort of accountability for yourself too, of like, what am I doing? Am I doing this? So, you know, we would love to be a part of that in the Council of Moms. We're on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And we are a production of BYU Radio. We are glad to be here, and we're glad that you were here too. Have a great day.